This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and it's good to see on the other side of the glass, Matt Doyle. He's back. He was quarantined for a few days, but he had his test, he got his results, and he is negative for coronavirus. Unfortunately, more than 85,000 Americans are positive. And in Louisiana, as we know, we have 83 deaths, and we have more than 2,300 cases. And we have a severe crisis in our midst. The news yesterday was that 83 people are dead. That's up from 65 the day before and 46 the day before that. So if we're doing this on a percentage basis, which is the way they look at, quote, flattening the curve, there was a 41% increase in deaths 2 days ago, 27% yesterday. And let's say if it's 25% today, as bad as that is, that would be progress. So any number today below 105 when the announcements are made at noon, that is actually a good number. So, I mean, it's terrible that people are dying, and they're dying in large numbers. And when all this is over, there may be millions of Americans who have succumbed to this, but the percentages are the numbers to look at. 877-217-5757. We visited with mathematics professor Jim Madden at LSU yesterday, and we start with Paul Hoffman. He is a veteran historian at LSU, and he is an expert on what happened more than a century ago when Louisiana State University was immensely affected. It is the old war school, so it was affected by men going off to fight in the First World War, but also by the pandemic of 1918. LSU did not have a football season in 1918, and lore through the years has it that LSU canceled the season because of World War I. Now, that was part of it, but perhaps the bigger reason was the pandemic, the Spanish flu, that was afflicting the United States in that year and of course, did not stop for a few more years, but the big outbreak was in 1918. Professor Hoffman, you were actually writing a book about this and other matters. Why don't we start there? You were getting immersed in this long before we had the current crisis we're facing. Tell us how you became involved in this kind of research related to what happened more than a century ago.
Well, the short story is that 15, maybe 20 years ago, Chancellor Davis formed what's called the Commission for the History of LSU, and on that commission was former Chancellor Paul Murrow, recently deceased, unfortunately. And Paul, for the time when he was chancellor, had recognized that LSU did not have a modern history. That is, history where you had footnotes and sources and you go back and check things. And in various ways, I got sort of both volunteered and got volunteered to work on that project. And so that's how I got into that. The book is finally finished. LSU Press published this year. It's Louisiana State University, Agricultural and Mechanical College, 1860 to 1919, a history. It'll give you a lot to read if you get a copy of it and want to read while you're confined.
Once again, the book is Louisiana State University and Agricultural and Mechanical College, 1860 to 1919. From its founding under William Tecumseh Sherman to 1919, right, when we were coming out of this pandemic, not complete until 1920, but you noted in your book that LSU opened in the fall of 1918, normal September time then, mid-September at that, and yes, for the next couple of weeks, football practices were a part, but they were complicated. What was going on?
Well, the university was getting ready to transition from ROTC to something called the Student Army Training Corps, which the Army had come up, this is an idea the Army had come up with to deal with the fact that there was a lot of social unhappiness that men in college had not volunteered to join the fight or were waiting basically to be called on the draft. So the answer to that was, we'll take all the college students and we'll put them into the Army. We'll let them continue their educations. through this Student Army Training Corps. And so LSU transitioned on the 1st of October, 1918, from its ROTC program to this SATC, as it was called. And that meant that over the course of the next year, in basically quarterly implements, because that was another thing that was done, the university was told, you will go on to quarters, because every 3 months we're going to call up men on the basis of their birthdays. And so they will, you know, the first quarter will disappear and so on. That would have been the end of the early in December. So that did not directly affect the football team. But the fact was that only some number, and I don't know the number, of players returned from the previous year's squad. And in the fall, what they usually did is they had walk-ons, and the coaches would assess, you know, the talent of the walk-ons and decide how many they needed to fill out the team. And that was underway. Now, there was a national committee that was organizing the student effort and other things. And what they wanted to do was to have 2 to 3 intercollegiate games in the fall. And they figured that the way to do this was that they would have intramurals in the SATC units between the companies. And that would allow the selection of the best players to form a team. And then probably in November, they would find ways to have a couple of intercollegiate games, and that would be the football season for 1918. Needless to say, the pandemic just shot that to pieces.
So the stories that we've heard through the years, Professor Hoffman, about World War I being the reason, there was a much deeper story here, wasn't there?
Yes, yes. It was the reason in the broader sense, because, in fact, once the SATC program was in place, LSU really was, in effect, a military training camp. And under the pandemic, when the pandemic struck, the state quarantined, put in general quarantine, and LSU was quarantined from Baton Rouge, which meant that all the women students, 160 some of them, couldn't come to campus, and some number of men, I don't know that number either, who lived in Baton Rouge couldn't come to campus. Curiously enough, the faculty who were supposed to be teaching on campus came and went on a regular basis. And at some point in October, about the middle of October, the Army said, oh, we need about 60 of these men in advanced training schools, and so they just moved them. By that point, by mid-October, the worst of the campus outbreak was over. But until then, it started on the 1st of October, interestingly enough. There was another unit, a military unit on campus, I should explain, which is called the Army Vocational Training Unit. They had arrived in August, and they were being trained to be typists and clerks and all the things that an Army needs that are not directly on the front lines. They were present, 400 and some of them, and 317 or so LSU students, as we would think of them, plus additional students who had not been of draft age in September of 1918. They were called the Boy Scouts, younger guys.
do we know how many students were affected by the pandemic of 50%. How many students did LSU have at the time?
If you add in, well, LSU students properly are about male students, about 400 or so. LSU claims 600 students overall, and that includes women, and it's a kind of funny figure. It counts everybody who matriculated as a student at any time during the academic year, but roughly 600 students. But for this purpose, the important is the 317 who were in the SATC. Oh, there was another 60, I should say, that were in a student naval training corps, which was housed off campus in town in a hotel. So that would make almost 400 students that are what we would think of as regular college students. And the idea was that they would receive some of their courses toward degrees and then put a great deal of military training and drill and that sort of thing. But 50% of them came down within a week of the appearance of this flu men in the Army Training Corps who first had it. So by the middle of October, the campus was a kind of giant hospital, and there's descriptions of convalescing students. We'll call them students instead of Army men, but students being put out on the porches of the Pentagon, and they used classrooms, they used the assembly hall, which is called Gary Hall. Virtually every space that was available had somebody convalescing in it in the middle of October.
Now, we're about to go to a break, but a listener asks, and it's obviously a good question, how many of those 300 or so students who had the Spanish flu died at LSU?
I'll tell you that when we get back.
Okay. All right. You know how to set it up. Professor Paul Hoffman has written a book about the first 60 years of LSU, which ended with a pandemic. We'll talk more after this 90-second pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana, and hope you're doing well. I know many of you who listened at the office and listened in your cars, you're probably at home now and relaxing, I hope, and trying to get through this, and we will. But it will take time, and social distancing is the norm right now. Our guests are all this week, I think with one exception, have been by telephone, and we give every guest that opportunity. But we are journalists, and we certainly realize that we're like firefighters and law enforcement officers and others, doctors, nurses. This is a higher calling for some of us, and sometimes that means putting ourselves in the midst of something that's not so pleasant. But hopefully we'll all get through this without getting coronavirus, but it appears that more and more of us are, and at some point we will have, if we don't already, have people close to us who have contracted it. Good thing is that most people do survive and move forward, and life goes on. But there are many who are dying, and in Louisiana so far, 83 of us, 83 Louisiana citizens have died due to COVID-19. 877-217-5757, talk at talklouisiana.org. Dr. Paul Hoffman is with us, professor of history at Louisiana State University, and he has written a book about the first 60 years of the old war school, starting in 1860 through 1919. And in that time, there was a pandemic at the end of the first 60 years, and it involved the closure of the LSU football team. There were about 600 students at that time, 400 men, 200 women, and about half of the university contracted the Spanish flu. And I asked the question, and we went to the break, and Dr. Hoffman, who apparently knows his way around a radio microphone, he said, I'll give you that information when we return. So we're back. How many died, Dr. Hoffman?
Well, in total, of the LSU students, properly called LSU students, there were only four. There were three men from the vocational unit, which was also on campus, who died. So seven fatalities for the LSU, what's called the LSU community at this point, or the students, the men, particularly the men. So it's a little under 1%. Nationally, the fatality rate was estimated at the time, and the numbers are, they're estimations, between 2.7 and 4.6%. So LSU got off very well. I don't know the numbers for Baton Rouge. My guess is that it probably had about 1%, maybe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so when all was said and done, measures were taken fairly promptly to isolate everybody on campus and also isolate the city, helped a lot. And we got a lot of help from the Red Cross in Baton Rouge. There was also medical help came from the Navy Hospital Corps down in New Orleans. So it worked out pretty well. And apparently after 3 or 4 days, most people began to get better. So it wasn't so bad.
Was that pandemic similar to this one in that people of a certain age were more vulnerable? It sounds like younger people, like LSU students, fared much better.
Well, it depends a lot. From what I know about it, and I'm not a specialist by any means on that pandemic, but what I've read about it suggests that it did not have the same mortality table we have where older people are more vulnerable. not everybody died, obviously. Many people were very sick. But the people who had the worst forms of it on autopsy were shown to have drowned in the secretions in their own lungs.
Oh, my.
I mean, it was pretty frightful when you read about it. Hmm. And it spread widely because there was not social distance, you know, distancing at stay in place and things like that were late coming in various places. The system nationwide was basically local and state level, and there was no national effort to say you got to do this, got to do that. So, and it built on experience with what was called the grip, which was another form of the flu that had been epidemic off and on in the previous 20, 30, 40 years. So people, public health people knew what to do, but it was done piecemeal. But to come back to the football team, the fact that LSU was quarantined until the, the 18th of November meant that even if they could put a team together, they would have had a very short window within which to do any intercollegiate games.
And they were not the only school to
Not the only ones, by no means.
No. Yeah. At that time, there was no Tiger Stadium. They played at a place called State Field.
That's right.
It was built on the old downtown campus of LSU, located east of the Pentagon Barracks and the site of the current State Capitol building.
Actually, it's right next to the Arsenal, in that area over there. It's part of part of the State Capitol grounds.
Well, yeah. The field was at that time was known as the Athletic Field. I read, was later moved to a site with bleachers. It was north of the campus's experimental garden and next to the old Armory building. But yeah. The capacity, of course, was not 102,000 people.
No.
It opened in 1893, closed in 1924, and was home for LSU football from 93 to 24, and baseball, and also the LSU Tiger basketball team played there from 1908 to 1924. But we do have this situation in which we don't know how long this will last, and it seems almost impossible to envision 102,000 people assembling on the fifth day of September for the opener of the LSU season, about 150 days away, with the kind of situation we have now. Are we in danger of losing college football and LSU football in 2020?
We might lose part of the season in 2020. I don't think we're in any danger of losing college football. Once it began at LSU in 1893, as you say, it's been continuous
No, it's not going to go away. In fact, the year after that, LSU had a good season under a coach named Irving Pray. Appropriately, P-R-A-Y. We're not losing college football. I'm talking about for 2020, though. Is the season in danger?
That I don't know. I mean, obviously, if I had a crystal ball, I would love to tell you. I'd love to know. But no, there's no way to tell. We do know that in 1918, the flu in the fall was considered the second wave of four. And the third wave arrived on the LSU campus in the middle of January and caused the suspension of dances, which were the principal form of extracurricular activity other than sports. They were suspended for about 3 weeks while that flu sort of worked its way through people who were going to catch it and then moved on.
From Dr. Hoffman is Louisiana State University and Agricultural and Mechanical College, 1860 to 1919, A History, and it has just been published. So, Dr. Hoffman, for those who'd like it, what's the best way to secure a copy?
Probably the best way is to go to the LSU Press's website. There may be copies at the Barnes & Noble around, but if you order from LSU Press's website, it'll be mailed to you from North Carolina.
Okay. Thank you, my friend, and let's keep in touch.
Thank you.
Appreciate your insights.
Stay well.
You
too. Thanks for your work.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.